So please welcome Bob Lefsetz, a music industry analyst and critic and the author of the Lefsetz Letter, and someone who I think is a legend in his own mind. Just kidding. We love you, Bob. Come on.
The irony is I'm insecure at heart, and I feel like I'm a shithead in my own mind, so that ultimately works. This is a panel about change. So the music business, it's not your father's music business anymore. What does that mean? From 1980 to the year 2000, we lived in a monoculture. If MTV showed it, it was successful. So the goal was to get on MTV. Then Napster comes along and disrupts everything. Amongst people on this side of the fence in the music business, all the customers were labeled as thieves. They didn't want to pay. Revenue was going down, etc. What we've learned is change is constant and the customer is always in control. If you're not appealing to the customer, you're doomed. So the example I always use, if we look at 18 years worth of history since of Napster, is some of you may be too young to remember this, but on Saturday morning, they used to show Westerns, okay? And the bad guys would rip off the bank. Now, no one said, let's build a really big megaphone, put it on the roof of the tallest building, and yell for them to bring the money back. That's what has been happening in the music business until Spotify. So what did they do in these old Westerns? They say, we're going to form a posse, and we're going to cut them off at the pass. One of the great things about streaming music at this late date is many people do not understand it. The example I use is, on a regular basis, I get emails saying, I'm not going to have a streaming service. I need to own it because what if I'm out of cell range? Whereas everybody here probably knows you can sync approximately 2,000 to 3,000 songs on your handheld device. So as long as you have juice, you can listen, even if you're on the top of Mount Everest. So in the music business, which is the canary in the coal mine for entertainment tech, we have figured it out. We live in an on-demand culture. Everything has to be your fingertips. Everybody's like, what's after Spotify? What's after Deezer, Apple Music? Nothing. Okay? As long as you can get it on demand, we're here. What does that mean? A, we're not like the movie business. Now, if you followed yesterday's news, Disney said, we're Disney. We don't really have to compete with Netflix. We don't have to make as much product. Which, of course, if you've lived through the last 8 years, your eyes are rolling. Okay, so there's consolidation. Fox was sold to Disney in order to compete to Netflix. And if you're following the CBS Viacom story, it really isn't about Les Moonves and a Me Too moment. It's about Sherry Redstone saying, we got to sell this stuff before the bottom falls out. Now, if we look at label business, I was talking in the green room, Universal Music is worth somewhere between $25 and $50 billion. Okay. And it's by far the largest company in the sphere. But if you look at Warner Music, the guy who doesn't run Warner Music anymore, Dick Parsons, who came from American Express, he blew out Warner Music for a couple of billion dollars. That's the music business we are in. It's all short-term thinking. You might have seen yesterday, the day before, the big news was that Warner blew out their Spotify stake. That's like saying the people we're in business with, we don't believe in, which is nuts. Then they are proud of themselves saying, we are going to put $1.6 billion worth of the $5 billion cash out from Spotify towards artists. I'm getting email all day today. Go, that doesn't look too good. But before we get deep into the nuts and bolts, what we have to realize is we are now in the era of content. Tech and distribution have been figured out. You'll remember 5-6 years ago, every month there was a new rage. Turntable FM, you could have your own radio station. There hasn't been a new rage in forever. In addition, there hasn't been a viral video. Everybody here remembers Gangnam Style. That hasn't happened anymore because as we've gotten into the modern era, what we've found is the clock isn't working here in case, you know, I could talk forever, but I want to make sure I don't. So in the modern era, what we've found is that I've lost my place, but I remember where I'm going. So Netflix, as I say, is all about distribution. And in the modern era, we found there's cacophony. Everybody is spreading messages. One, Don't listen to the people yelling loudest about royalties and other changes in the music business. They tend to be old and uneducated or non-players. The number one people I get email from bitching about Spotify royalty rates don't make records. They just hope that at some point they can get a good deal, okay? And then you have oldsters like David Crosby, who seems to have lost the ability to do algebra, never mind regular math, and can't really figure out what's going on. But these are always the headlines. I'm sure you're emailed. There was the big story today is from the Citicorps research people. Like, these people know anything about the music business. But in any event, they say 12% of the dollars end up with acts. And then people email me, go, that sounds terrible. It's a really big business. Everybody here has to get paid. The venue has to get paid. 12% is not so bad. In addition, it's larger than what it used to be. So my point is, now is the time to focus on content. What do we know? To a great degree, the major label record business is running on the same paradigm it's been running since 1965, which is chase what's popular. If you're aware of your record business history, in the 70s and late 60s, the foremost label in the business was Warner Brothers Records. They did something called artist development. Artist development is over the career of an artist. It doesn't mean you took a record from 0 to 100 in a year. That's not artist development. That's record development. But there's none of that here, okay? Major labels only want to sell what there's a reaction to already. Someone comes in, well, what are your socials? We want to know you can get the word out. It's not an evaluation of music. So right now, hip-hop is the dominant force. Why is hip-hop the dominant force? Because rappers embrace the internet before everybody else. If you go on Spotify, where all the numbers are regular, you know, Spotify is the largest player, but I also use it because it's an open platform to the degree. If you are on the desktop application and you hover over on the right, it will tell you how many streams a track has, where you can't get that information from competing services. But we see that the main thing that's played is hip-hop music. That's great. Just like when we went to SoundScan and we got an accurate count of sales, we found that country music was much bigger than we thought it was. But the business at large right now is excluding every other sound, okay? So the biggest act in the world, okay, time has gone by. The three biggest acts in the world are Adele, Drake, and Taylor Swift. Let's start with Adele. What is she selling? Well, she's not doing any of the traditional hype. And she's not selling it on Glamour. She's selling on songs that people can sing along to. That's something that is, you know, it's not like a unique person. It's not like an athlete. You know, we can't clone LeBron James, but we could clone that sound. We're not doing that. So as we move forward, as the rest of the audience comes to streaming, which is country, which has come to a certain degree, okay, rock, which is still rebelling because the people in rock are such streaming haters, there are going to be other genres. So it's your job to find those acts and literally find an audience for them, or someone else will beat you to it. This is the story of Chance the Rapper. This is the story of Spotify. Now, a lot of this stuff is hiding in plain sight. When Spotify did its roadshow in the spring, just to get a little bit into the nuts and bolts at this particular point in time, it's a bad business because it doesn't scale. One of the great things about music business, once you make the record, doesn't cost much more to sell 10 million copies than 1 million copies. Or to use today's lingo, it's not that hard to get 1 billion streams as opposed to 100 million. Where Spotify, they continue to have to pay royalties. They have a very low margin in the neighborhood of 30-odd percent. So what they said in their roadshow is, we are going to make direct deals with artists. One thing you have to know is today's artists are sophisticated. It's not the 50s with Ahmet Erdogan and the other labels saying, oh, you want to have royalties? Let's go to dinner. Or let me give you a Cadillac. You know, there's so much information out there. Don Passman's book, when you make a deal with somebody, they have a music business attorney and they know what's going on. And they're not always saying yes. What do they want from a major label, which this is? They want money and they want awareness. Let's go back to distribution. You'll hear all the time, content is king. That is complete horseshit. When anybody ever tells you that, know that they have no idea what they're talking about. They have drunk the Kool-Aid, to use the expression. Distribution is king. It's a very simple example. If we sit here right now and we make the best movie of all time and there's nowhere to see it, it doesn't make any difference. It's all about the distributor. So how did distribution used to work in the physical era? It was about relationships with the retailer. Okay, so what you had is you ship product. Sophisticated people know here, they didn't pay for the product. They paid for the product when you had new product. And you were always behind. So when a retailer blew up, the labels were always losing millions and millions of dollars in revenue they hadn't been paid. There's a famous story of Bobby Womack was on a record company called Beverly Glenn. They had a million seller. It put the company out of business. Why? They could just never get paid. Those days are done. You can get paid from Spotify. There may not be anybody listening and there's no money there, but you can go direct. This is a very important thing. So what is the advantage of the traditional player, the major label? Well, the main advantage is they wield their catalog. And they've been doing that for 20 years. But we're at the end of the road. If you notice, Spotify is going to go into India. And there's some hesitation. And there's some scuttlebutt saying, well, the hesitation comes as a result of the major labels are pissed that Spotify wants to sign people direct. The major labels can't back out of Spotify. And prior to being involved with Spotify going public, they actually lowered the percentage that the major labels are paid because they're the number one account. It's like going to Walmart. If you've ever sold to Walmart, they pay the lowest price to the manufacturer. So an act can go directly to Spotify. So what do you have? You have terrestrial radio. This is a business that is run on terrestrial radio to its detriment. We've known forever that radio isn't about music. It's about selling advertising. And the power is going down. The people in radio are like the people who are Trump fans. They're just built on disinformation. If you say anything negative about radio, they will, oh, it's better than ever, blah, blah. But I ask you to talk to someone between the age of 10 and 18 and ask them if they ever listen to terrestrial radio. And you'll find, no, they never do. Okay, this is the history of what's going on at large. This is like Kodak. Oh, digital cameras. They're never going to come. They're going to come. Oops. In 1 year, everybody got a digital camera. Okay, so the major label has an advance. Okay, and it's a really big thing. People are looking for money to make a record, which is cheaper than ever before, to live on, to go on the road. But it's also the relationships. But the traditional relationships mean less than ever before. Radio comes last. Okay, and television is relatively meaningless. Sunday morning CBS counts for an older demo, and Saturday Night Live, as a manager put it the other day, it just creates buzz later in the week. It's not like someone is actually watching that, okay? So all the tools in the box of the major label, the bottom is coming out, okay? So you have to be aware of that. So the key is to look to the future because the past is never coming back. One of the foremost business educators is guy Clayton Christensen. Clayton Christensen said, you build your competitor across the street, and then at some point, you then join with your competitor. You move your business. So what do we hear in this business? No one's going to want to listen to an MP3. Okay, we all heard all these things people didn't want to do. It doesn't sound good enough. Listen, I've got more stereo equipment probably than 99% of the people in this room. Oftentimes, I'm listening to the echo. It's just so convenient. And staying on that point, okay, the voice control is totally where it's at. If you don't have one of these devices, and I would say to get an Echo as opposed to a Google Home, because ultimately there are more options because people can tie into it. Google Home is, Apple's a closed system, dead on arrival, unless they open it. You can make Spotify the default, but if you use Amazon Music, it'll give the lyrics, which is really good. So it's not about sound, it's about reaction. It's about, to use a cliche in the hip-hop world, it may not apply, you know, three chords and a chorus had a good beat. That's what you're selling. All this other stuff we focused on, recording quality, etc., they don't really matter anymore. So how do you reach the audience? So we hear all this stuff about playlists. I'm not going to underestimate playlists, but let's not forget, playlists are primarily for passive listeners. And this business, more than ever, is built on active listeners. Okay? If you talk to a music fan, they say, oh, yeah, I pick my own music on whatever service they use. So the point is, what can the label do that no one else can do? It is a relationship business. But the more you try to extract an ounce of flesh from the acts, the more that they react. They can make the music in their living room. People say, oh, it's not like you can cut for $100,000. But very few people are getting $100,000 to cut. Okay? You can promote it yourself. So when we go back to the playlist, it's about creating a hit song. A hit song is something you have to play more than once. However, now more than ever, if it's great, that doesn't mean anything. Now, if you talk to people on the street, they have to leverage their fans. Your key is leveraging other people's audience to get something exposed. If it's exposed to audiences, then it can react. We're all inundated with messages all day long. People send me a record. They go, listen to it 5 or 6 times and tell me what you think. Are you fucking nuts? I mean, babies are overscheduled. I'll listen for 30 seconds. If it doesn't hook me, not because I'm an asshole. That's what everybody does. We hear this, that kids have short attention spans. They don't have a short attention span. They have an incredible shit detector. So it's about great, okay? Something has to be great. The other thing you have to realize, like the world at large, music business is and will continue to be a business of winners and losers. If you go on Spotify, if your new rock band is not that good, I can listen to Led Zeppelin all day long. You're competing against the history of recorded music. But in addition to that, It's not like the old days. Well, if I got a local market and everybody in South Dakota, they got the 500 channels, they got the 100 gigabyte down internet. Everybody's on the same page. Thanks for listening.